Here we go.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Today it's all about corruption. That's right, corruption. It seems that corruption is deeply rooted not only in the heart of man, as Jeremiah the prophet said, the heart of man is desperately wicked, who can know it? But you would think that in a country that claims to be a nation under God, that we would have a very limited amount of corruption. But that is not true. In fact, the more we walk away from the fear of the Lord in America, the more corruption mounts. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about the subject of corruption, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And, you know, it just seems like it's everywhere. Rand Paul came out with his annual report concerning fraud and misspending in America, which basically is a representation of the corruption of government and of your trust and mine in the American government. And the bigger the government, the greater the corruption. The more people in the government, the greater the corruption. And so we find that with every breakdown of our normal and former expectations of limited government and the pursuit of virtue, which our founding fathers said was essential to freedom, the more we find corruption among us. And it's very distressing, isn't it? Well, here's the problem. If you find corruption in the government, you're going to find corruption in the church. And unfortunately, that's exactly what's happening. I have an article before me here. Corruption started quietly, but now runs amok in the church. Whoa! And we're finding that everywhere. Why? Because we've walked away from the fear of the Lord in the land, friend. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And here we are. For the past 50 years, have been progressively running away, abandoning the very concept of the fear of the Lord, which was used by our founders, even through the Pledge of Allegiance and even through our swearing of the Bible in the courthouse, to protect us from deception and corruption. That protection, that default position, is now gone. So where does that leave us? Well, here's one illustration, for instance. The FBI intimidates a nurse who blew whistle children's, who was a whistleblower against the Children's Hospital Child Sex Change Program. So the article says, this is where we are right now as a country. The Biden regime sent two FBI agents to intimidate a nurse who exposed controversial practices at Texas Children's Hospital. Now, you wouldn't think that that would be true, but here's a man who pretends to be the representative of the people in democracy. Yet he sends two FBI agents to intimidate a nurse who told the truth about the child sex change program at Texas Children's Hospital. And the regime is mobilizing to threaten and imprison anyone who opposes transgender medicine. Wow. Did you know that? Well, here it is. It's here now. Then today on Viewpoint, a special guest is joining us. We haven't met him before. But he's joining us here today with his book called Masters of Corruption, How the Federal Bureaucracy Sabotaged the Trump Presidency. And it's more than just Trump. It's there are a lot of things that are trumped up these days. But we're not here primarily to talk about Donald Trump. We're here to talk about corruption. And on July 30th, 2018, our guest today officially became the director of the USAID Office of Civilian Military Cooperation. The director and the majority of the office's other 55 employees were located in the headquarters in Washington and the remainder at the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. He said, in signing on to work at USAID, I had expected to spend most of my time on issues of development and national security policy. I had done that much as a senior advisor. In this office, however, the personnel and ethical problems were so daunting that they became my primary focus, stopping corruption. I had concluded requires leaders with strong moral convictions, and those convictions usually have deep cultural and religious roots. Although corruption was not culturally acceptable in most of the United States formerly, there was enough acceptance at agencies of the U.S. government to make it a recurring problem. For private gain was especially common at agencies like the USAID that issued big-dollar contracts to private companies and nonprofit organizations. Although U.S. law required all federal employees to report waste, fraud, and abuse to authorities, USAID employees routinely disregarded this law. Well, what's the effect of that? Waste, fraud, abuse, violation of nearly every ethical code known to man, says our guest. And he's joining us here, a graduate of Harvard, summa cum laude from Harvard, went to Cambridge, and certainly he has the educational qualifications to speak as an expert here before us here on Viewpoint. But Mark Moyer is joining us here with his book, Masters of Corruption. Mark, it's good to have you in the program.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
These are not only exciting times, but profoundly challenging times, aren't they?
They are, yes. And as you indicated, I think we've seen a rise in corruption, which, of course, people, I think, are inherently sinful. And so you're never going to get rid of corruption entirely. But we do strive for virtue, and that concept comes to us from above, and as we see people moving away, we do see more of this corruption, and so it's something we need to fight hard, because if you don't, you create a culture of corruption, and that was what I saw within the U.S. government. It becomes more acceptable, more people will engage in it, and people have come up with very sophisticated ways of corruption, so it's actually pretty hard to detect. It's not just people stealing money, but a lot of it involves contracting, which, again, is not something necessarily new. But until I was in the government, I didn't really realize the extent of corruption that goes on within all of this contracting.
Well, this very day, I had an extended conversation with a technician for air conditioning. We have lost several of our air conditioning units in the past week or so, and with the extreme heat out there. And we had warranty companies that were supposed to be covering these things. And what we discovered is that no matter what we had paid and no matter what was happening with the units, they found ways not to cover them. So what I concluded in talking an extended conversation with the technician is that in reality, the warranty companies were basically kind of a front system for gaining money and working out deals with the technicians, but weren't so desirous of helping out the very people that were trusting them. And so it was almost as if it's very much like what's going on in the government. And when you talk about corruption, when we're talking about these kinds of things, the real issue is the complete breakdown of trust, isn't it?
Yes, and societies have very different levels of social trust. And, you know, historically, ours has been one of the higher ones. If you go to countries, especially non-Western countries, there is a very low level of trust in many of these countries.
Well, that's the reason why we based our society on the fear of the Lord. And that's why we had that motto, In God We Trust. Francis Scott Key gave it to us as a godly lawyer, but we've abandoned it. We'll be right back after this, friends. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. I'm Chuck Crismire. This conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. So here on this program, we don't just report on facts, but what we do is take a look at those facts and those developments to see where it might impact our own individual lives and what it may call us upon to change and to not be caught up in these things that we're talking about, corruption, deception, lying, and so on. Jesus warned that in the end times, just before his return, that deception would be the number one game in the world. And that includes not only spiritual deception, but all kinds of deception that are taking place in our world, which would also include corruption, immorality of every type, and then the support of that as if it were true. And so all of this is part of the bigger picture that Christ himself said that we could expect with increasing severity before his coming. But our guest today, Mark Moyer, has had a personal and visceral exposure to this. And because of that, he's not coming on today just to curse the darkness and complain, but to help us to understand, number one, how it happens, the depth of what's happening, yes, in our own government. What happens when someone who attempts to take a righteous stand gets involved, and what the cost may very well be. Sounds often, or very much like what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, so it is a big decision to report wrongdoing, not just in government, but in any occupation, because there's always a chance of blowback.
Consider what happened with Boeing. Just last week, I had one of the foremost leaders of Boeing on this program, and he's no longer with Boeing, but he also was talking about the effect of the whistleblowers, and a number of them actually disappeared.
Yes, when whistleblower retaliation is very common, and I didn't pay that much attention to it until it happened to me. Mm-hmm. That's how we are, creatures of experience. But
sure.
When I went into this, I did think about this possibility of blowback, but I was actually a fairly senior official in the agency, so partly I figured that having that higher level status would help me, and that turns out to also be a common thing. A lot of the people who suffer whistleblower retaliation mm-hmm. are people who are middle management, and they think they've got enough status in the organization, but then it turns out the higher authorities decide that they have their own reasons to throw these people under the bus. And so it is rather shocking. I didn't expect it to happen, but I ended up getting fired in retaliation for reporting this corruption, and it can be very devastating emotionally on people. I was fortunate to have a strong family and a strong faith,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what helped get me through it, but it was still a very painful experience. And a lot of people who go through whistleblower retaliation do suffer severe and lasting psychological damage.
Absolutely, they do. It can happen in the church. We have reports, even in the last 2-3 weeks, of major Christian organizations, churches, pastors, and so on, that have had to get out of the pastoring role because someone revealed what was going on. It had been hidden for years and years and years. Covered up, and whether you want to call it cover-up, whether we want to call it participation in corruption, basically it all stems from the same thing, and that is self-interest in protecting oneself over protecting the truth, right?
Yes, and a lot of these people have deluded themselves in some way to not really recognizing the full extent of the evil they have done, and so they can rationalize when somebody calls them out that instead of repenting, they instead decide they're going to go seek vengeance on that person.
Or who are you? Who are you to be the standard to come before me and be my judge?
Yes, there is that as well, and Now, in my case, I actually, you know, and for a lot of whistleblowers, we're not the ones who actually say you're getting punished. We give the information to the people whose job it is to
bring about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, nonetheless, yes, we come under attack. And, you know, in many cases, I mean, I was told when I first reported this, I was congratulated for doing it. But then people, you know, when their own interests were at stake, ran for cover. And that, you know, fundamentally, this goes on because you have bad leadership that either is participating in this or tolerating it. In my case, you know, it's some of both. You have the people who perpetrate these things, and then you have others who should be intervening, but for whatever reason, you know, usually they don't want to stick their necks out. They don't have a strong sense of moral conviction. They will simply hide and let people get destroyed.
And that, unfortunately, is basically the spirit of the age, increasingly, and that's what you're fighting. But you were fighting something also even deeper than that, and that was you had been appointed by Donald Trump, and that was almost the curse du jour of the day, wasn't it?
Yes, but on the one hand, you have government bureaucrats are always tempted to put themselves before the people they're supposed to be serving, mm-hmm. and so we've had that problem from the beginning. But it took on a new dimension with the election of Donald Trump because he was so unpopular. We know that in 2016, 95% of contributions from the federal workforce went to Hillary Clinton, and a lot of them you know, were viscerally opposed to Donald Trump. And I think, you know, any politician should be open to criticism, but I think some of their criticism strayed into the realms of fantasy in some cases. So they came to the view that pretty much they could do anything to try to stop the Trump administration. And we saw that with even the FBI with these phony investigations going after Trump. And then,
okay, well, think about the words Donald Trump, as he came down the escalator in 2015 at Trump Tower, said, "We're going to make America great again." That was the first curse upon him because he was speaking to a deep state and set of not only Democrat but Republican globalists who said, "No, we're about to enter into a new world order, a new global order, and we ain't about to let that happen." The next thing was he said, "We're going to drain the swamp." And that got personal, didn't it? Because they're in the swamp and they are the swamp.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, a lot of people have a fairly negative view of what the swamp is. But until you actually are in it, you don't fully understand what's going on. And so that's a lot of what I try to convey in the book is what is actually going on in these federal agencies. You know, a lot of the people in the bureaucracies are decent, well-meaning people, but you also have this toxic element, and this toxic element is able to intimidate the rest of the people when the higher-ups are not willing to set the right tone and set the right culture, and that is what all too often happened, and certainly the agency I worked, that you had these sort of bullies within the bureaucracy who got their way and forced others to go along.
You also have the spirit of enculturation, where it doesn't begin in a big way. It gradually comes in, like Robert Frost wrote in his poem about the fog coming in on little cat feet. So the corruption starts to come in and little cat feet, and then pretty soon it roars like a lion, and it's taking over like a great pea soup fog has enveloped the entire government, the entire agency, even a family, even a congregation. So it doesn't happen immediately. It comes in gradually, doesn't it?
Yes, and then what you see, too, is that the people who do want to do the right thing or who are appalled by the corruption, they will get punished or they may simply become so frustrated that they leave. And so those people leave and then you attract more people who want to get in on the corruption.
Well, either that or you conform to it and just suck it up, so to speak. So you're in a situation, you've been in 2018, you were selected, you weren't expecting to do this. How is it you happened to get the call to go down to the Reagan Building, International Trade Center, to answer questions? And then how is it that you got the call to actually join UNSAID? By the way, you should probably tell us a little bit more about the depth of that, maybe in 30 seconds.
Yeah, so USAID, the Agency for International Development, is the main foreign aid organization. And I had spent a lot of my career working with the military, but had also gotten into the foreign aid sector because, especially in Afghanistan, Iraq, there's a lot of foreign aid going into places where the military works. So I was asked to become the director of what's called the Center for civilian military or Office of Civilian Military Cooperation, mm-hmm. and so I had this staff that was trying to coordinate these two branches, and they called me just because I had expertise in this, and one of the leaders had seen me give a talk on this subject early in the Trump administration.
Uh-huh. So how did you get connected with the Trump administration? Was that something that you pursued, or something they pursued, came after you for?
They approached me about this job at USAID, and I had previously tried to contact the Department of Defense because I spent a lot more time there. Mm-hmm. But we had an interesting phenomenon where the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, was actually trying to get what he called apolitical appointees, which was just an absurdity. And he even tried to bring in Democrats into senior positions. And so this was one of the major problems you had in the Trump administration, is that some of the senior leaders at these agencies were not really on board with what the president wanted. You know, eventually Trump figured out that Mattis wasn't on board and they pushes him out. But there was a lot of that, unfortunately, in the early years of the Trump presidency.
Can you imagine what he had to endure and is still enduring because the backlash is so severe?
Yes, it's very unfortunate, and I think, you know, we're only going to see the same things. Well, we've already seen these trials, which are really, I think, appalling, in where they're going after Trump for crimes that nobody else has been prosecuted for, with biased judges. And if he's reelected, certainly we'll see more of these attempts to try to undermine Trump. But I do think this time around, he is going to be better prepared, and he has been spending a lot of time, as have some outside organizations, trying to identify the personnel for the second Trump term, because that was really, I think, the greatest weakness in the first term was personnel issues, which some of them got corrected, but it was fairly late in the day.
All right, so let's now go to what really happened, what you ended up having to do, and the repercussions of it. And then in the final segment of the program, what we'll look at is what you think can be done. What are the insights that you have been given as to how to respond to this and how to protect against it? So the book, friends, is called Masters of Corruption, How the Federal Bureaucracy Sabotaged the Trump Presidency. It is a $33 book, yours for $30 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Write a check at $5 for postage and handling. Again, the book, Masters of Corruption. Wow, that's quite a title. Quite a title, Mark.
Yes, it was, it's a remarkable encounter with the depths of corruption. As I said, it's sophisticated corruption. It's not people stealing out of the cashier's register.
Uh-huh.
It's contracting fraud. And so that is what's rampant, and that's what I tried to stop.
All right. We'll talk more about that after the break. Friends, again, you're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints. This is not, we're not talking about something political here, primarily. This is spiritual and moral. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Corruption is everywhere. Wherever there are human beings that are not regenerated by Christ, there is corruption. Even those that pretend to be followers of Christ in this generation are tempted to corruption. They just are. So, today on Viewpoint, we're talking with a new friend, Mark Moyer, with his book, Masters of Corruption. And Mark, just a little bit more background with you. You said you had quite a bit of experience with the Department of Defense. What got you into that kind of a role? Being a Harvard graduate, summa cum laude, and going to Cambridge, what led you into that?
Well, I was always interested in history growing up, and from my educational experiences, I found in particular that there were certain topics that were being misused for political reasons. And the one that struck me as the biggest was the Vietnam War. Uh-huh. So I did my PhD dissertation on that and said, wow, written several books on the subject. Mm-hmm. And so that then led me to a teaching position at the U.S. Marine Corps University, wow, in Quantico, Virginia. So I taught there for a while, and that was great experience getting to teach the nation's military officers. Now, the downside is that conservatives, military historians, white males are all in what academics would call today's basket of deplorables.
Yeah, so, persona non grata.
Yes. So, you know, I'd originally expected I would be teaching at a civilian undergraduate institution, a research institution, mm-hmm, but the hiring systems are so ideologically corrupted that I ended up spending a lot of time in the military, working with the military, doing research, got to travel around the world. And so through that, I further developed this interest in current military affairs and also in international development. And then ended up working in think tanks for a while. And that's how I got in contact with the political world. A lot of my colleagues had come out against Trump in the 2016 election. A lot of these were Republicans, mm-hmm, who thought he wasn't going to win, but I thought from the beginning that whatever one might think about his personal shortcomings, that he had policies that were much better than what the Democrats were offering. Mm-hmm. And I think he did deliver. I mean, more so than most politicians, he actually did what he said once he got in office.
Right.
And he did do a lot of important things, like getting new Supreme Court justices, changing, mm-hmm, immigration provisions, but there was a lot of bureaucratic resistance that slowed a lot of what he was going to do. So I think with the second Trump term, you will see that there will be greater ability to push through all of that bureaucracy and mm-hmm, get things done.
All right. So now you are actually a professor, are you not, at Hillsdale College?
Yes, I joined Hillsdale College in 2021, and I'm teaching military history here, one of the last places that you can still actually take military history in colleges, and we do also have a mission to educate students in Western civilization the United States and Christianity, and we have a strong core curriculum, which is another thing that, unfortunately, most colleges and universities no longer have.
Right, and that's because you take no federal money, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we have the good fortune of not having to take any federal money, so we don't have to go along with a lot of the bureaucratic nonsense that the federal government imposes on most colleges and universities.
Yeah. And then also you're coming to us as a professor of Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
That's what I thought. Okay. That's not the foundation of what we're talking about here, but it is the foundation of any real response to it when you go down to the bottom line. All right. So you become part of this United Unsaid, and what exactly are you doing?
Well, when I got there, I was expecting to be focusing on strategic issues. You know, that's sort of what this job was supposed to be. But as soon as I got in it, I was approached by staff within the agency complaining about corruption and toxic leadership.
Wow.
And so
immediately.
Yes, because what happened was the administration had been slow to staff up the agencies. So this office had actually been run by some career bureaucrats for 18 months. And they had basically done what they'd wanted to, and the people who were put in charge were there basically for themselves. They were not actually there to serve the American taxpayers. They were there to use their positions to get perks for themselves, to ensure an easy lifestyle, and to engage in corrupt contracting practices.
Okay, well, we know Rand Paul has gone to great lengths to every year expose waste and fraudulent waste in the federal government. The last report was that $900 billion was expended by the U.S. government wastefully or fraudulently, and that's probably the tip of the iceberg. No wonder we're having a $1 trillion deficit now every year, and paying more for interest than we're taking in. It's a very interesting phenomenon. But we keep playing the game, don't we?
Yes, and part of the problem fundamentally is political leadership in our agencies and the bureaucrats, because bureaucrats actually hold a lot of leadership positions. That the political appointees like me, only about 4,000 in total, and so a pretty small percentage of the workforce. Then on top of that, you have the problem of the inspectors general, and this is something that most Americans don't know anything about, and I didn't really know about them until I started working for the government. But these are supposed to be the people who protect us against waste, fraud, and abuse, and if you see something, you can go tell them and file a complaint.
Yeah. See something, well, say something. They're the integrity and accountability folk.
Right.
Supposedly.
But then I discover, yes, that some of them are as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than some of the other bureaucrats, and that was certainly true at my agency. We actually had one who was there before I got there. He ended up getting pushed out only because Congress found out that he had been doctoring all these reports to try to make the agency look better. And then when that happened, they actually had an internal whistleblower who had exposed this. They ended up firing her instead of the people who were most heavily involved in all of this. And when I was fired, I went to them to file a whistleblower retaliation complaint, because that's who's supposed to handle these things. But instead, they first they tried to just deny that I even qualified as a whistleblower, which then got shot down. And then they conducted two sham investigations, which basically said, yeah, nothing to see here. They, you know, ignored a lot of evidence that was out there. And so that's one of the other things I think President Trump, if he's reelected, will be doing, is scrutinizing these inspectors general. And he did in 2020, after a lot of fuss was raised, he did fire several of them. But there's more that needs to be done on that front.
Well, and then you've got the FBI, you've got the CIA, and all of these agencies have been so massively corrupted that you wonder, is there anybody we can trust anymore?
Yes, and the FBI and Department of Justice are particularly concerning because they also have a role in policing the rest of the government. And it's been certainly appalling what happened in 2016 with this Crossfire Hurricane investigation where they spied on Trump's campaign under false pretenses and used this manufactured steel dossier to justify surveilling his campaign associates. Uh-huh. And we are seeing, more recently, there were these whistleblowers who were questioning, A, what the FBI was doing in January 6th, and then B, the Hunter Biden laptop and why the FBI wasn't doing anything. And we saw that the people who blew the whistle on those got punished by the FBI. Now, one bright spot at FBI right now seems to be the Inspector General, because he recently did a report that actually criticized the FBI for how they were treating these whistleblowers. And one of the whistleblowers named Marcus Allen actually got his security clearance and back pay restored as a result of that. But certainly new leadership is desperately needed at the Department of Justice.
Now, interestingly, about a year after you became engaged there under appointment as heading up director of UNSCED, then in 2019, you got summoned to the Reagan building, and a special investigator said that there was an allegation that you had divulged classified information, and they're going to use that as a means to get at you.
Yeah, that's right. And then...
So in other words, they're always looking for some way to cover up and keep you from being a legitimate whistleblower so they don't have to deal with that issue.
Yeah, and one of the things they did to me, which is also pretty common, is they try to throw all sorts of allegations out at you and see what they can get to stick. And so I know of at least four different accusations that were made against me. I didn't know at the time, but there's been subsequent disclosures from the government that indicate this. And then the main one they used was this claim of disclosing classified information. So they started this investigation, and what typically happens in these sorts of things is that there is supposed to be some due process, and they give you a chance to respond to whatever the supposed evidence is.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, they refused to do that, and they even at one point admitted, well, they don't have the evidence. Now, this is where we are reminded of how valuable the Constitution is, that Fifth Amendment guarantees you due process. Protects you against search and seizure. Another
right.
thing they did was they seized my computer based on someone's claim that it contained nefarious information, which also proved not to be true.
Wow.
But these bureaucrats didn't really care about the Constitution, and
yeah.
I've since gone to court to sue over this, but it's still there because the wheels of justice move slow.
We'll be back after this. Indeed they do, friends. The book, Masters of Corruption, $30 on our website, saveus.org. You're going to get it.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The
Again, it's a delight to be with you here today on Viewpoint, friends, to talk about the things that matter in our lives. What we're talking about here, yes, is political corruption, but it's deeper than that. It's moral, it's spiritual, it's at the root of that which is eating at the soul of our country. And our guest today, I think you can see, is somewhat moderated, I would say, in his response. Even his book itself is somewhat analytical. It's dealing with what he had to deal with in dealing with the U.S. government. But even though he's filed a lawsuit to try to bring some correction to some of these things, I would say his attitude is very moderated, which would be in line with what I would expect to be the experience of a true follower of Jesus Christ. The book, Masters of Corruption, is a $33 book, yours for $30, on our website, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check, add $5 for postage and handling. Now, I need to make a confession, Mark, that I have inadvertently used the term UNSAID instead of USAID. I'm much more familiar with the medical designation, UNSAID, which is a classification of certain kinds of medicines and so on that you need to be aware of. So it's USAID, not UNSAID, my friends. And you've been very kind to put up with that error, Mark. I appreciate it. All right. You had indicated that you were in the process of dealing with a lawsuit. What is the purpose of the lawsuit?
The purpose of the lawsuit is to it's aimed at regaining my security clearance, because one of the things they did in addition to firing me was they first left open this accusation and left it hanging for a while. And then after a year, I actually got my security clearance back, mm-hmm. which was another indicator of how phony this claim was. But then after it was given, somebody else found out about it and then tried to take it away again. But again, they were supposed to give me due process. So when we said, okay, well, give us whatever information you have, they said, no, we're not going to do that. And they said, just defend yourself against an accusation, but we're not going to tell you what specifically we think you did or what the evidence is, which, again, if you were actually going through due process,
really?
It's just, you know, a joke. So I filed a lawsuit 2 years ago and said, you know, your own rules, the government's own rules say you need to turn this information over. And the Department of Justice then tried to come up with various excuses as to why the courts could not compel them to comply with their own rules. And you know, the courts said, well, actually, the Justice Department's wrong, but there's some other things you can try to do first, which didn't really make sense. So we went through an appeal, and then we just, about a month ago, the appellate court came down in our favor and said, no, they actually do seem to have a legitimate case, so you lower court judge come up with a new ruling. So we're waiting to hear from that. And so
the wheels of justice are grinding exceedingly slow, but exceedingly fine.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, it is a little discouraging. You have to sue the government to follow its own rules, but, that's where we are.
Well, just ask Congress about that. That's trying to get, the actual interview transcript of the agent of the Department of Justice interviewing Joe Biden. And now they're still refusing to provide it. So, yes, one would wonder, well, where is the justice? Is there any place for justice in the country anymore? And if you have to fight this hard, how could the average citizen ever endure? What say you?
Yes, and that's one of the biggest problems, which, again, I understand more fully now that I've been through it. But you as a private citizen typically don't have the resources to hire lawyers to spend years on a case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes very expensive very quickly, whereas the government has this army of lawyers, and they, I think, deliver, certainly in my case and in others, they try to just exhaust you and, exhaust your resources, exhaust your patience, and unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of people.
It's happened to a lot of very prominent people. General Flynn, for instance, he basically was delivered to bankruptcy by the Department of Justice, and many others like that. How do you endure?
Yeah, that's right. It is, and he is an example. But there's a lot of people from the Trump administration who were subjected to these, oftentimes bogus charges, who've had to spend huge amounts of money. I mean, we've seen Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon go to jail after encouraging these big sums for, on very dubious grounds, and for the exact same offense that Merrick Garland himself had just committed by refusing to turn over.
Isn't that interesting? The hypocrisy is greater than one could imagine. Okay, so the question now is, what, if anything, other than filing a lawsuit like you did, can be done here? How does this get corrected other than a massive moral and spiritual revival in our country?
Well, for one thing, it does involve electing better political leaders, because they do have a lot of authority, and we have seen some of them. In my case, I got help from Senator Chuck Grassley in squeezing information from the bureaucracy. I mean, we've seen recently Representative Jim Jordan has been vigorous in chasing some of this stuff down. So, electing politicians like these folks, I think, is very important. I do think, as you indicated, there is a broader cultural and spiritual problem in the country, which a lot of people are not really willing to address or talk about. But that's one of the reasons I went to Hillsdale, because Hillsdale still recognizes that religion and civilization are the core pillars of our society. And if we abandon them, as a lot of people now want to do, that we are further digging ourselves into a hole.
The psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Does it seem to you from the inside that the foundations really are being destroyed?
I do think they are, to a large extent. Certainly, if you look at our educational system, they have removed a lot of the ideas and principles that originated with Christianity, and we're now instead substituting things like DEI and critical race theory with these sort of pseudo religions, which are pernicious and divisive. And there are certainly some places in the country that haven't succumbed to that, but it is I think deeply problematic that this problem has spread certainly across most of our elite institutions.
How do you get rid of career bureaucrats? It seems that they almost have absolute life tenure.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And now one of the ones who identified in the book actually was recently forced out of the agency because of the exposure that came with the book. And so one of the ways is, embarrassment, because a lot of these people won't act unless they fierce public exposure. But broadly speaking, you do need, I think, changes which Congress will need to make in terms of for one thing, spending, because if you don't get spending down, you're not going to shrink the bureaucracy much. And we saw, unfortunately, too many of the Republicans as well as the Democrats continuing this upward trends in spending. And then also, you need to change the rules for firing federal employees, because it's so hard now to fire these people, short of committing murder, that what happens, and what I saw during my time in the Trump administration, is that Basically, people don't even try to fire people. What they will do is they will try to move them out of their current job into someplace else where they can't cause as much trouble. And we had, I also saw this at the Defense Department, we would have oftentimes what was called the Hall of Misfit Toys, where you would have, you would stick your people who were such a problem that you didn't want them damaging things, but you couldn't get rid of them. So, but then you have, of course, taxpayers are paying for these, all these people to be sitting around doing nothing, which is, you know, obviously a real waste of taxpayer resources.
Well, it sounds very familiar to what was going on with the Catholic Church concerning the sexual scandals and people, priests and so on, that were committing these various offenses. Instead of being charged or instead of being removed, they were just transferred to other dioceses or other situations in order to just kind of hide and get rid of the problem.
Yeah, and one of the most serious instances of corruption that I encountered involved my own deputy, who was involved in a criminal conflict of interest. He was using his job to help drum up business for a company of which he was the chairman of the board. And
you're not talking about Joe Biden, are you?
No, this is another guy.
But, Hunter Biden? I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
Yeah, so, you know, and eventually the evidence became so overwhelming. But what happened was that instead of kicking him out and charging with a crime, they simply allowed him to move to another federal agency. So he's still a senior federal official at this other agency now.
Unbelievable. Corruption heaped upon corruption heaped upon corruption. So in one sense, I suppose our listeners are thinking, well, it doesn't sound like anything can be done. It's so endemic to the system. And there's no way to remove these people very hard. So the only thing you can do is try to start over, so to speak, get one and then further administrations in that will take severe steps to deal with these issues and hope that you can, shall we say, at least put a damper on the corruption. Is that kind of where things sit?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we have, you know, I think a form of government that in general works quite well, and that does put restrictions on what any one person can do, which is often a good thing. So
sure.
It is hard to make sweeping changes, but I do think you can certainly make some significant ones, especially when it comes to electing the president and electing members of Congress, because they do have a lot of authority that they can use for good and for ill. And I do, you know, despite all the terrible things that happened to me and the awful experiences, I do tell people that you should not just simply write off the government, and because it is tempting to say, you know, this thing is so terrible, I'm just going to ignore the government entirely and do my own thing. But
yeah, we can't really do that, because that's, you know, either you have that, or every man just completely governs himself and does right what is in his own eyes, and then you've got nothing but chaos. So, I'd like to know, you're married, are you not?
I am, yes.
And you have kids?
I do. I have three.
And how have they responded, reacted to all this very quickly?
Well, it has certainly been difficult for them too. I mean, to see your, you know, father get fired from his job, and then because they took my security clearance away, it took me a long time to actually get a new job. And so it's, you know, traumatic when any time the head of the household is unemployed for a protracted period of time.
Well, at least you're walking by faith and not by sight, and I trust that your wife is with you in that, and that gives us an anchor for our soul amid such persecution. Thanks for joining us, Mark. I really appreciate it. Your book, friends, The Masters of Corruption, $30 will put this $33 book in your hands. Eye-opening. I urge you to get a copy. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Again, it's on the website, saveus.org. Pray for our country and make sure you don't fail to vote.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.